Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have any of you ever read those Choose Your Own Adventure books? I loved those books when I was younger. I loved to read them because each time you read the book, it could come out to be a different story, and each reader plays a part in determining the outcome by answering questions along the way. Well, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, although I did see a lot of yeses, let me give you an example. You're sitting at home, you're minding your own business, when all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. What will you do? Will you go to the front door and answer it, or will you run out the back door? I'm going to choose to run out the back door. And as I run out the back door, I see, oh no, the backyard is filled with tigers. What am I going to do? Am I going to sing a song to try to lull them into a sleep? Or am I going to charge after the tigers? I'm going to choose to sing them a song. But oh no, I only know two songs. What am I going to sing? Am I going to sing, "My Body Lies Over the Ocean," or "Eye of the Tiger"? And so the story goes. You see, along the way, you are presented with two options, and you need to choose between the two options. The books constantly put two choices in your path. They keep asking you, which path are you going to take? Which road will you follow? Choose your own adventure. Choose your own adventure. That is the lesson of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 opens the book of the Psalter, the entire book of Psalms, by asking us a question. Which path will you follow? Will you follow the Psalms and the rest of the Bible? Will you follow the Lord and His Word and His life and fellowship with Him? Or will you choose the other path that leads to devastation, destruction? It's the way of sinners. Which path will you follow? In the Psalms, Psalm 1, starts to describe the first way, a way of life and blessing. Now, blessing here is not the North American Western definition. Blessing here does not mean a home with a 3-stall garage and an annual trip to Walt Disney World, 2.5 kids, and sport leagues on the weekends. That is not what blessing means. Blessing in the Psalms uses a biblical definition. It means wholeness, harmony, joy, and peace with God and with each other. It's something much deeper than our typical definition of blessing. So first, the Psalm describes the life and blessing negatively. The blessed man does not walk, sit, or stand with the wicked. The way of the wicked is tempting and alluring. It is appealing. It is the way of perceived pleasure and sometimes acceptance with others. But the blessed man does not order his life by this way. He does not walk, stand, or sit in the way of sinners. The blessed man avoids this. He will not follow that progression of sin from thought to word to deed. He does not want the devil to get a foothold into his life. And then the psalm positively says, he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, law there in Hebrew is Torah, and Torah is the entire word of God. So it is not simply delighting in the Ten Commandments. It's more than that. It is that, but it's more than that. It's delighting in the entire Word of God. For he knows that God's law has answers for life, for marriage, for work, for speech, for training children and raising them up, for worry, for anger, for how to handle temptation. He delights in the law, and he meditates on it. He reflects on it. He mulls it over in his mind. He memorizes it. He keeps thinking about it until it is buried deep down in his heart and becomes a part of him. You know, that's why we do the liturgy that we do. When I say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," or, "This is the day the Lord has made," you're burying the Word of God deep down into your heart so that you can recall it at any time. Now, the blessed man does this. And the blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, I want to be clear. Psalm 1 is not a recipe to a recession-proof retirement or a cancer-free, cholesterol-free life. The prosperity described in Psalm 1 is not health and wealth gospel. Believers should expect hardship. So there is a second way of life described in the psalm. And it is completely the opposite of the first way. This is the way of the wicked. If the first path is living a life of blessing for those who delight in God's word and walk with him, this second path is a way of the wicked. Wicked living. The wicked cannot stand in judgment, nor will they stand up under God's judgment. And Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13 that judgment is like the harvest. The chaff will be blown away by the wind. The wicked will be dismissed. Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." They will have no place in the assembly of God's saved people. So there are two paths. And the important question that the psalm asks is, which path will you walk on? Choose your own adventure. For there are only two ways to live. There is not three. There is not a fourth. We are either on one path or the other. This picture is picked up by Jesus in the Gospels. He taught in Matthew chapter 7 during the Sermon on the Mount that there are only two kinds of builders. The builder who builds his house upon the rock versus the builder who builds his house upon the sand. There are only two kinds of trees that bear fruit, good trees and bad trees. He also taught that there are only two gates or two ways to live in life. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and few, only a few find it." Jesus is asking the same question the psalm asks. Which path will we choose? Choose your own adventure. Which path will you walk on? Will you walk closely to God, or will you choose the path of sin? And this is not a one-time choice. It is a daily, hourly, even minute-by-minute decision. We have to repeatedly say no, 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 no to sin. Jesus, by his word, is calling you to live for God, not for sin, not for yourself. But let us make sure we're clear. This is not a call to find a blessing on your own. You have been saved, justified, declared righteous by Jesus. Jesus set the context of the two choices within the gospel. Jesus sets the context of the two choices within sanctification, the process of living out the Christian life. In the case you have any doubts, Jesus is the way. The way, the truth, and the life. We're blessed for only one reason, and that is because Jesus lived the life that we could never live, and he paid sin's price at the cross, a price that we could never pay. Jesus is the righteous man of Psalm 1. Jesus is the blessed man of Matthew 5. He never walked, stood, or sat with sinners. Yes, he ate with them, but he did not compromise and live their life. That's what it means to walk, stand, and sit. To compromise our life, to live a life of a sinner. He never compromised or sold out to sin. His delight was always on God's law. And obedience to the Father was his highest priority. And he never failed. He prospered. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And Jesus was lifted high as he submitted himself to the Father. In Christ, you are blessed. In Christ, you are righteous. And in Christ, you were chosen. And now, you can choose. Which way? Righteous or wicked? Which way will you choose? Choose your own adventure. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.